Oh God, how thankful we are for this day and for the great joy and privilege that it is to worship you. We come to you this morning now listening to your word and asking that as we do so as a community that you will give us ears to hear. It is an amazing privilege to gather in your presence, in any place, at any time, and to acknowledge that you alone are worthy of our lives. Today, as we start the first day of this year's cycle of Holy Week, we acknowledge to you how grateful we are for the events of this week. And today, for a few moments, as we think about this text, may our hearts be open, may your spirit have freedom to move and teach and guide us so that hearing you, we might respond with lives of trust and faith and love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This is an amazing text in the Gospel of John. It's a text that really comes as close to being the center of the Gospel of John as probably any single text. If you took out the birth narratives of the Gospels, you would exclude very little actual written text. But if you were to take out of the Gospels the texts that are the prelude to the events of Holy Week, you would completely ruin the Gospels. There would be almost no Gospel left. Each of the four Gospels makes so much of the events that begin on this day that we have come to call Palm Sunday and go on from here. Now, this morning, we're thinking about the fact that in this text, one of the things that's borne witness to is that a rumor is beginning to circulate, a rumor that has already followed Jesus along the way in his life. It is a rumor about something about Jesus and life itself. Now, all of us like rumors about life. We can like rumors of life that are rumors of excitement. Last week, I did a little test to see whether or not there would be rumors that would follow the reputation of free food. Those of you who were around and heard me talk about Bake Sale Betty's, actually quite a number of you made your way to Bake Sale Betty's. And I went to Bake Sale Betty's and I said, would you happen to know any people that have come here from the First Presbyterian Church of Berkeley? And they said, yes, they seem to have heard a rumor about us. Now, it's a true rumor. And that's always the curiosity about rumors. That's what makes them rumors as opposed to facts. We're not yet sure how the story's really going to come out. We hear some bit of evidence. We're curious. We're drawn. We're intrigued. We wonder whether or not something is going to actually be able to be found there that seems to be promised by the rumor that we've heard. Now, lots of rumors circulate about bad and tragic things, but rumors that are the source of life, those kinds of rumors are the source of joy and interest and curiosity. Whenever the Golden Bears are doing well, there's a rumor that this may be the season. And there's a great sense of energy that gathers around that rumor. And we hope and pray one day the rumor will really be true. We long for it to be the case. We want that rumor to be so. There's rumors about things that we might know and hear about in our life, or a rumor of a decision that's being made that we really hope is going to fall in our favor, or a rumor of something that may be happening in someone's life that we love that we just really hope is going to resolve in that way. Recently, a friend of mine made a job change, and I'd heard that maybe things were going well, and then I talked to this person. This person was just full of the satisfaction of a change that had really resolved so many things in their life that they had longed for and hoped for. There's rumors that circulate about relationships that are forming and sort of standing on tiptoe, wondering whether or not maybe this or that relationship is going to resolve in a decision to marry, and the joy that comes from that, or the rumor and the hope that there is that maybe it's going to be possible to see some new chapter of life open up after a really difficult time, or that maybe someone's depression has finally lifted, and the lostness and the weight that they felt, the anguish of soul, is finally passing on. Now, in this context, the rumor begins with a very dramatic event. It happens really specifically because of Jesus' very special relationship to Lazarus. And Lazarus, we're told earlier in the chapter just before the one that was read, that Lazarus dies, and many of you will know the story of the fact that Mary and Martha are anxious that Jesus, though he's really fairly close by, hears word that Lazarus is sick, but he doesn't come to do anything about it. And then even after Lazarus has died, Jesus still doesn't come. And then he eventually comes and has this encounter with Mary and Martha, and there are tears on Jesus' part and tears on Mary and Martha's part and confusion over why he had stayed away. And now confusion, it turns out, even over the fact that now Jesus, who had promised to reveal God's glory to them, actually says to them, now, I want you to roll away the stone. And they say, but we can't roll away the stone. There's no point. They say, it'll stink. Jesus says, but didn't you say that you wanted to see God's glory? Eventually, they do roll away the stone, and, And it does stink, and Jesus does call Lazarus out of the tomb, and Jesus brings forth someone who was dead and now is alive. And the story of Lazarus' coming back to life, the story of Lazarus' resuscitation by Jesus, is the heart of the rumor that follows him in this section of John. Naturally, this is an event that gathers attention. There were other kinds of healings, other testimonies that had been given, sometimes by other healers, and certainly in Jesus' own life of people rising from the dead. It was something which was part of his ministry. It was unexplained, it was mysterious, it was full of a power that no one else seemed to really be able to demonstrate. And now the rumor that Lazarus was actually alive and no longer dead dogged Jesus. And John makes a lot of this in the telling of the story that leads up to and into the parade of Palm Sunday. Because it says that people came not just because they'd heard about Jesus, but because they had heard the news about Lazarus. And the rumor about Lazarus coming to life was something that had gotten their attention, and they wanted to find out whether it was true. And so John says they came not just to see Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, because they wanted to know whether or not the rumor was really true. If it's true that somehow in Jesus there is a power that is not just the power to help people gain some new worldview, or the power to change relationships that might need to be renewed, or even the power to forgive, but actually the power to heal, and even beyond healing, the power to actually raise people that are dead to life, well, that is a power that is an extraordinary power, and therefore it made for an extraordinary rumor, and therefore the entry into Jerusalem that would already have been filled with people because of Passover and already would have garnered attention because of Jesus' presence now was made even more numerous and even more dramatic because of the rumor that maybe connected to Jesus there was an evidence of life, this unexplained life of Lazarus. The power of Jesus Christ in the events that are going to follow in this week is going to turn out to be power much greater than the power to simply resuscitate Lazarus. The power of life that is the real rumor of life, which is what Jesus would call the rumor of the kingdom of God, that God is coming to establish and recreate life for the whole universe and for people of every tribe and tongue and nation, and that everyone who knows the reality of being humanly broken and in need is someone to whom the power of the kingdom of God, the rumor of life that is in him, is going to be extended to everyone throughout time and around the world. That's going to make the rumor of life about Lazarus in the end seem like a small headline compared to the extraordinary news that Jesus Christ has come first as the Savior of the world to do on our behalf and for us as an act of identification and of sacrifice, the most extraordinary self-offering, which is what we remember in the events of the final supper with his disciples and then the next day when he's crucified. That's the heart of our hope, but that hope is brought to its culmination when it turns out that Jesus Christ has the power over death himself. And now, not just resuscitation, which is really the story of Lazarus, but now it's the story that is the story of resurrection. It's the story of a new life that has both continuity and discontinuity, that is the beginning of the ushering in of a whole new reality, in light of which everyone and everything else will ultimately be finally remade because of what Jesus Christ begins in his own death and resurrection. And that is the rumor of the gospel. And that is the rumor of life that is beyond death and in life right now. It's the rumor about circumstances that actually can change our lives, that begins now to make a claim on us, to give us a different vision of the world, a different vision of ourselves and of God and of our neighbor, a new capacity to be able to love and engage in life beyond the categories of our normal rumors of life. It's not life just made up of all the ordinary stuff that you and I may want to seek and do seek and do participate in every day. But now there is a category of life that has entered our world right where you and I live, where there is a beginning to taste and experience a reality of an unfolding kingdom that's the kingdom that will right every wrong, the kingdom that will suffer with every need and ultimately resolve those needs, that sees the profound scope and depth of injustice and actually is going to renew and change that. That's the kind of kingdom that Jesus is bringing. And that kind of kingdom threatens powers. It threatens them so that it says in the verses just before the text that was read that when it began to be heard that Jesus was not only garnering a big following, but was now healing people and bringing them back from the dead, well, then let's decide to kill Lazarus, the authorities said. Let's decide to kill Lazarus along with killing Jesus, because if we can kill both the evidence of life and the one who brought it, then it's an even better deal. I was reminded recently of that amazing moment, that moment in the play that was written by Oscar Wilde based on the story of Salome. And there's this amazing place in that story where Salome, who's the stepdaughter of Herod, and who dances and brings about John the Baptist's death. Well, Herod, according to the story as Oscar Wilde tells it, hears the news that Jesus heals people and brings them back from the dead. And there's this amazing little moment in that play where Oscar Wilde describes it this way. When Herod hears reports of Jesus of Nazareth having been raising people from the dead, Herod says with all of his pompous little arrogance, "I do not wish him to do that," Herod said. "In fact," he says, "I forbid him to do that. In fact, I allow no man to raise the dead," Herod says. "This man must be found and told that I forbid him to raise the dead." It's interesting that as the play goes on, the little tyrant Herod says, "Well, then, where is this man?" And his courtier says, "He's in every place, my lord, but it is hard to find him." We are a church that's founded on one hope. It's not about our history. It's not about our location. It's not about the capacities and gifts and talents of people in our church. It's not about our capacity in any human way. It's about our simple dependence on a God who is not just the rumor of life, but the one who actually is the source of life. And for the 125 plus years that we as a congregation have been in this town and have sought to live out our life, we have sought to promote the investigation of that rumor and to promote people's discovery that it's not just a rumor, that it's not just hearsay, and that it doesn't take just looking back at an ancient text, but it takes looking back at an ancient text and seeing that that same God who did those amazing things long ago is the same God who is still active in Berkeley, active on this campus, active in the Bay Area, and active throughout the world. And our ministry together is really a ministry of promoting that rumor and the investigation into the rumor and to the discovery that can follow from it that there is a God who knows us, who has made us, who loves and pursues us, a God who shares our human suffering and enters into that reality and comes in such a way as to actually transform it. And that the gift that he gives us is nothing less than truly the gift of new life. And how do we get there? We get to that promise by making this journey. Every time we gather, but certainly every time we come to this cycle in our church year, when we remember Holy Week, when we remember the events that lead Jesus into this moment where the rumor mongers were there saying, it's all about Herod, and ultimately it was all about Jesus. And it was all about a power of life that was greater than death itself. And it wasn't a function of anything that Herod could control. He or anyone else could make whatever emphatic declarations they wanted. These things don't happen, or I forbid it, or I don't want it, or I don't wish it. And still, the amazing good news is that even when we don't want it ourselves, or when our world may often reject it, it still is the love. It still is the rumor of life. It's still the reality of life that God wants to give us. In the life of this church, the rumors extend across generations and around the world. Part of the life of this church is the stories that have continued to go out and go out today about the presence of God, the presence of God that we want to see demonstrated even more vividly. We are thrilled and grateful to be here together and to sense the vitality of what God's doing in our midst, but all of us can admit that we are still, as a congregation, so much on a journey. And the journey is about how to spread a deeper rumor of the presence of Jesus Christ through us in the city of Berkeley. How do we really embody that still more tangibly and clearly? Or how do we embody it and share it in word and deed more on this campus, this amazing setting where God has placed us? And how do we shed it abroad in the world, in all the workplaces and neighborhoods and schools and places that we play and go and work? How do we help that rumor to spread? The rumor that is our hope. The rumor that's an invitation to life. An invitation to a God who loves us when we fail. A God who loves us when we totally fail. A God who loves us when we fully, totally, completely fail. That God, a God who understands and suffers with people here and around the world, that God who is the source of life for people in Uganda and in Goma and in the Middle East and in Iraq and in China and in throughout Asia and in India and among the Dalits in northern India and in Europe and in Latin America and in Nicaragua and in Mexico and in South America and really all over the planet, that God is present and at work, and we are invited. We are invited, we are privileged to be a part of that global fellowship. And in our own life, to take seriously that this amazing news that changes the world is the news that ultimately brings Jesus Christ to his own death. It rearranges all the power in the world if there's someone who actually holds authority over death itself. If there's someone or somebody who's not controlled by fear of death, then there is no government, there is no bureaucracy, there is no force in life which can ultimately finally determine who we are. And the story of the early Christian centuries or the story of people that got this all the way to their toenails, they got all the way to the core of their life that in fact Jesus had established life. And therefore there was a freedom, an abandonment, a readiness to engage in all the places of great challenge and great need, because we worship the God who is the Lord of life. And therefore, we walk into places of death, bearing witness to the presence of life and being controlled by that life and not by the threat of death or danger or insecurity or fear or sin or weakness or inadequacy or competency. We are given life, and you and I are meant to be witnesses of that life wherever God would send us to be, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in the places where God wants to use us, not just to bless us, but to bless us in order that we may be truly instruments of God's grace, giving ourselves every day to embodying the evidence that the rumor is true, that we've found life, and that it's that life alone that is the hope for us and the hope of the world. Oh God, this morning as we gather and worship you, we gather giving great thanks. Great thanks that the rumor is true, that you not only have the capacity to do miracles, but you have the capacity to actually create a whole new reality that is your kingdom. We are here today, oh God, to bear witness to that, to celebrate that, to honor you, to acknowledge your power and your presence. Lord, we are so thankful that you're at work among us. We could tell so many stories, hundreds and thousands of stories of your evidence. I'm so grateful for the privilege that it is to be part of this community, to just get to eavesdrop on your presence as the stories of your love are told by people in this congregation. Lord, we're so grateful for that. And we're thankful that we get to do this together, that we're not just individuals, but as a community, you call us to do this good work. Because what you've done is create life. And now you are in the process of recreating life after Jesus Christ, that is the hope of the world. Oh Lord, as we walk through these days of Holy Week and we come next Sunday to the celebration of your triumph over the grave, take us again, O God, through all the events of this week that remind us of the depth of our need and the world's need, which never surprises you, which never causes you to run away or forget or blink or ignore or deny or pretend, but instead to simply walk into the darkness as the source of the world's light and love us. So, O God, May the rumor of life be born in our lives, and the authenticity of that life come in our words and in our character and in our actions, both for our sake and each other's sake, but also, oh God, for Berkeley's sake and this campus' sake and for the sake of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.